We are at Mishlei Perek Vav. And Perek Vav starts out with what sounds like practical advice. Look at it. B'ni, oh my son, im arav tel riachai, if you have acted as a guarantor for your fellow, I promise that if this person doesn't pay it back, I'll pay it back. Takata lezar kapecha, you shook hands with a stranger, you've gotten yourself into some kind of agreement, and now you've got to pay. I'm presuming he's talking about, well, you can pay. So now what do you do? Nakashta b'imrei ficha, you were caught, keshep. You're bound up in the in from the words of your mouth. Milchata b'imrei ficha, you're trapped by the words of your mouth. You made a promise. Aseh zoreifo. So then, therefore, do the following, my son. Vinatzel, and you'll be saved. Kibata b'chafreyach. Because right now you're in the hands of your reah. I don't know the best way to translate that. Your
Wow,
fellow.
friend.
Well, it's not about friend, right? This is someone that you owe money to, that you can't pay back. Now you're like indebted to them.
I'm interested to see where Mishli goes with it, because I'll tell you what my dad used to say about it. Go on.
Okay, but it says, "Lachahitrafes, you should be rafrefes." What does that mean? Rashi Masuda rather translates that as "inyan drisa," be stepped on. You should allow yourself to be stepped on, drisa, be humbled, as it said, Daniel, rafsa, and it tramples with its feet. This is Daniel's image of the beasts representing the future kingdoms. So let yourself be stepped on, v'rahav re'echa, and rahav, and glorify your friend, your colleague, the person you owe money to. Rashi, David again, rahav means in chazkut, give them power. Or in when we say in Shir Shal Yom for Shabbos, bravam avel afar, if that would. Exact wording that all of our striving, everything that we think is great is nothing. So here it's saying, well, here's my advice, right? I says zot b'ni b'hinatzel, you'll save yourself by humble yourself, let him let the other guy step on you, and rahav re'echa, let him have the power over you. That's the advice. Al titein shina le'enecha, do not let yourself sleep, do not give sleep to your eyes, utmunah le'papecha, and slumber to your eyelids. Don't stop working. Save yourself like a deer immediately. Katzipor mide Yakush, run like a bird from the trap.
I'm a little confused.
Last question, what is he telling you? Now you can talk about it being a literal, that if someone's, and that's Rashi takes it, right? Arabot Mammon, right? You're guaranteed to pay back a loan. And talk about money, Kamashma, oh, perishable potato, just literally. That's why you can make him do it. You need to, you owe somebody money. You can't pay it back right then and there. Humble yourself before them. Ask for them forgiveness, and then keep working. Al titein shina. Don't let yourself sleep. Make sure you pay it back.
Oh, so Mishli's telling you have to pay it back.
Yes. And
Okay.
while you're not, how do you act to the other person is humbling, right? They're right, you're wrong, except that. Be lowly. So, what
My
was
dad,
your father's comment?
well, my dad used to say, if somebody asks to borrow money from you should not only give them money that you could afford. You could afford to lose if you don't get it back.
That's always good advice.
Because basically, it says you don't know what's going to happen in the future.
Yes, I've had that a number of
Expect the
times.
person's going to try their best, but you don't know what's going to happen.
Number of times I've been a guarantor on loans. It's always regretted it. what it is. However, whether that's good advice or not, in terms of always pay back your loans, don't be haughty about it, etc., this is safer Mishlei, book of metaphors. So Mefarshim generally assume that this is a metaphor for something. I'm talking to you as a literal borrower, right? Something that got being something deeper. So this is the way that Rashi says, "There's davar acher." You don't want to take it literally, fine. If you have been a guarantee to your Reya, to your friend, he says it's Achash. Now we're guarantors to God. We're guarantors for our every other Jew, and it's we owe it to Hashem. Was called the Rei, the Reya. Our friend Shirashim describes it Zed Dodiv Zeri. Okay, I have guaranteed behavior. I am the guarantor for every other Jew towards God. You have accepted this. Sinai, Ubarba Moab, Baalav Shroa, Lishmor Mitzvotav. You have guaranteed that you're going to keep the mitzvot, and you're going to do your best to make sure that everybody keeps the mitzvot. That's the model here. That's what it means. You're a guarantor.
But
You're
then
part of
aren't
it.
we all guarantors?
I'm sorry?
Then we're all guarantors
We
now.
are. So that's what he's saying, that here it's you, Bini, right? You have done this. So therefore you need to be humble before God because you can't possibly pay it back. You can't guarantee everybody else's behavior. You've acted that way. So it's here's how they translate those. Let's do. Oh, there we go. Here, abase thyself, importune thy neighbor. How's that good for good words? Right? Lower yourself, right? And that's before Hashem, right? Hashem, you owe to Hashem your best behavior, the best behavior of everyone else. You can't pay it back, so that's what it means. Be humble. Okay. Humble yourself, glorify God. That's great. It's a nice wording interpretation as well, but it's very much looking at Ben Adam LaMakom. I'm looking at God. And that's really not what Mishlei is all about. Mishlei is all about how we deal with other people. I mean, it's only being learning that from the Torah from God, but it's still about other people. So the Vilna Gaon, the Gras, has an interpretation which I think fits very well with this metaphor of borrowing money, having to pay it back, owing to someone else. So he said, and so the Gras starts out pointing out that the pasuk says, "It's over here, if you're if thou be surety for thy friend." Wait, he's really like the formal English. Let's get a translation here.
I think that's a guarantor, no?
A guarantor, right? A surety. That's that. JPS is too fancy. We have Silverman. If you have gone security for thy friend, you put forth your hand in pledge. Oh, that's a very strange word. But there's basically two ideas here. You are the Er Ariv. You are the guarantor. You promised it back. And Takata Latsura, you've shaken hands. You're part of the deal itself. So that's the Gra's point. It's talking about two different ways of guaranteeing, two different kinds of things where you are now responsible.
That's what a guarantor is.
Yes. But the Gra points out halachically, there are two kinds of guarantors, halachically. Echad arev sta, a regular guarantor, she'im lo yeshalem halo ve'yeshalem po. That's where you're the second to be collected from, right? The lender goes to the debtor, says, "You pay me back." He says, "I can't do it." So then the lender can come to you.
Right.
Hasheni, the second kind of luckily, is Hanakra Shluftutz. What's a
I never.
Shluftutz?
What swoop is?
That's a good question. So I looked at the Shulchan Aruch. Use that. That's a halachic term. That's an it turns a Shluftutz. The shaluf shu min eseb, it's a kind of herb, shemiyavshinoto, that you dry it, brochsinbo, that you make soap out of. Brochsinbo tadayim lavir hazu hama, to take the sweat away. Shluftutz means soap. What's a soap guarantor? So it's a Shulchan Aruch calls it an arev, sheminakeh talove midin hamalve. It's you are in fact cleaning the loved. That not you're just not guaranteeing it, but you are saying that I'm going to pay it. That the lender doesn't even have to go to the debtor. Lender can go to you first. Okay. It's promising to pay the debt of someone else. That's not the same, quite the same thing as a guarantor, which usually means, well, if they can't pay it back, I'll pay it back. This
Right.
is, no, I'm covering his tab.
This is a Jewish guarantor.
Well, both of those are valid kinds. In halacha, you can be one or the other depending on the wording of the contract.
Okay.
Okay? Like normal, a normal arev, you just sign as guarantor, as opposed to being as basically a co-lender. Which means that the borrower, the lend co-borrower rather, so the lender can go to either one of you. And so that's what that I like that the schluchtus, the you're a soap guarantor, you're cleaning the hands of the borrower. Well,
Is that Yiddish or what kind of word is that?
Saramek. It's from the
Oh.
Gemara. Saramek. Behu arev kablan. So the halachic term is an arev kablan. Arev who's makabel the debt. So this is what he's saying. That's the two kinds. Im arev to reach if you're a guarantor, who arev stam. That's just the regular kind that you're not responsible, but you're in the background. Im bekatalazar kapecha, if you've shaken hands with literally a stranger with the lender, who arev kablan. That you are actually part of this deal, you're promised to pay it back. Okay, so what does that mean? Fine, it's not something I metaphor. They're just talking about it's talking about different kinds of guarantors. By inyan, sheneged shnei rasha Yisrael. This is corresponding to two kinds of leaders of Israel. Shehem arevot. They're the guarantors. Moshe says when it's talking about establishing judges. Hulochem anashim. And I will place them at your head. And he doesn't quote it directly. The Gemara says that this asimem, read it as ashimem. I will hold them responsible. They will be guilty, right? The leaders of the people are responsible for how the people behave.
So it's like a play on words because asim, I'll put, and then it's ashim, you'll be guilty. You'll be
Right. That's
responsible.
exactly it. That's what he's referring to. I'm gonna see. Rashi, I think, brings that down. I should have quoted that. Clear where he's going with that. Here we go. Ashimem, Asimem, Chasayud, Limanisha Ashmotehem. There's your pun there. Shin. Shall Yisrael Tulio Parashadinehem. Okay. So those are the this Shmuel is addressing the Zakenim and the Shoftim, right? Too, as it describes who are the leaders that Yaakov gives a bracha to Yehuda and says Lo yasur shevet mi Yehuda umuchokek mi ben raglav, that Yehuda, the sons of Yehuda will be the shevet. And the mechokek and the rule givers. Okay, and the Gemara says on this, "Lo yasur shev hem rashei galiot shebavavel." Those were the political leaders at the time of the Gemara. Those were the political leaders in Babel, where in the Parthian Empire in Iran, the Jews actually had autonomy. So the Rosh Galut in Babel had actual power. They could punish. Their judgment counted. Right, Sherodin Yisrael Basheva, that they discipline Israel with a scepter, with a staff. That's one kind of leader. Those are the Nisiim who were in Eretz Yisrael at that time under the Romans. They did not have that autonomy. Right? Shemalamdin Torah Barabim, because they could teach Torah, but they didn't have any actual political or legal authority. Unlike, I mean, and that's specifically that time, but so for instance, in the Middle Ages, the Jews were autonomous and could actually punish. The idea of you had they didn't decide that someone needs to give a get. They could beat them until they did it willingly. Nowadays, we don't have the Beit Din does not have that kind of legal power of any kind. They suggest and they can have you sign an arbitration contract, but just Malamdin. So those are the two kinds. Botana Malamdin Torah in Erev Stam. So teaching Torah Ishmael Pesach is like the Erev Stam, a guarantor. They have to be careful to get it right, but you're not directly responsible because you don't have that authority to force someone to listen.
It's voluntary, in other words.
So listening is so that you're like this Arev, that God will hold, will hold the you're responsible if you get it wrong. But if the person doesn't listen to you, God's not going to hold you responsible because you did what you could.
Right.
You have a less degree of responsibility. Okay, so lomdin Torah hen Arev Stam, that's what is this model of an Arev Stam, a regular Arev. You have to be careful not to cause anyone to stumble. Teach well, yasbiratam, to lo you too. And make sure that it's you what you have taught is enough that they can't make mistakes. But you're not directly responsible if they do because you don't have that kind of control. This idea of an Arev Kablan, where you're guaranteeing and you'll pay it back. When you get Dayanim, says that Talui Kmo Arev Kablan, right? So that the judge, in a case where the Jew have the power to enforce it, they are completely responsible. Shemachnitz Atzmo B'Mekomo Mamash, that you are now responsible for what they do. If you make a mistake as a Dayan, you are completely responsible. Dayanim Hechnitzu Atzmam. So the judges insert themselves in the place of the litigants. Tell mama mizev, no tell lazev, because you're taking money from one and giving it to the other one. Your decisions are enforceable below ratzon ha'baal din, and then you can do that against the will of the person you're judging. Right, machni asmo, sorry. There should be a chaf here. So not okay, maybe not. Okay, there we go. That's edited. Okay, so now, so the two kinds of leaders are the teachers and the judges. And that's who he's talking to. He's saying that in this model, if you're judging or if you're teaching someone, giving someone advice, or you're actually a judge, you can enforce it. That's your aratzel reyachad. And if you make a mistake, now you're in their debt. You need to humble yourself before them. And I'll teach you another einecha. Do not rest for a moment. You can't hide from this. Don't let yourself sleep. You need to be saved from this trap of having caused someone else to sin. This is bad. You need to pay that back. You have to. You can't stop. Okay, if I'm acting as an instructor, I have to be careful to give you advice, but you're still responsible for your own actions. That's a voluntary level. I have a level of responsibility, but isn't that strong? That's the Arev Stam. But if I'm acting as a judge or a posek, I'm telling you what to do. And if I'm wrong, you're doing the wrong thing, then the onus rests on me and I am responsible entirely. That's Arev Kablan. So if I make a mistake, then I'll be nokeshet, literally in a net, or nocheret in a trap, and which Gra says those are the two different sides that the trap's hard to get out of. Again, this is the Gra. Nakashta b'mreificha, you will be caught in the words of your mouth. And that's negative otenolom dim. That's talking about teachers. And that's no keshev b'mreficha klomar im lo tirei tev shelo hichashav. If you're not careful that you're not going to mislead someone, b'dvar halacha in a Jewish law, harei no keshev b'mreficha. You're now caught in your own words. Shehora devar shelo halacha. You basically taught something that was wrong. Just saying something that's going to be misinterpreted. But if nilchata b'imrei ficha, you're trapped in your words. Then who can nega tok im? Him and dayanim. Those who can force, well, that's that corresponds to those who are the shaking hands in the metaphor. That corresponds to the judges. Taking money from one give it to the other one. Unilchad mamash. You're actually caught up in this, that you are responsible for everything that happens. You gotta pay it back for yourself.
The person that listens to his teacher or the judge, whatever, he's fulfilled his obligation
Correct.
because
That's what
he
he's saying.
did what he was told to do.
That's why, so in this model, in this metaphor, that I am responsible to listen to God. I ask the rabbi what to do. Rabbi tells me, I've done it. I don't have to pay that back. It's like wrong I did. If the rabbi makes a mistake, then the rabbi is acting as the guarantor. Right? God's gonna come to the rabbi to pay it back. Just like a guarantor would. So that's real. If you
That's the whole
have.
thing that he has to basically probably do like me doing stuff and say, I made a mistake and we have to relearn what I taught because I made a mistake. So it's my
Right. So that's.
responsibility to fix it.
And that's what Shlomo is saying here is lech lehitra pes. Go and be humble. Humble yourself. As Gras said, klomer aspuka, that you have to be like the threshold. And address it, right? Yeah, that you, people are going to step on you. That's okay. Don't stand in their way. Lo da'kev shum de'din. Yeah, you're right. You have to be generous. Let people literally step on you and come in. Let's be humble. Have re'echa and glorify your friend. Well, London.
Danny, what's Resh Hey Vav? What's that?
Rahav. So let's go pull this. Rahav means to glorify or to make strong. Let's
Oh.
pull up that we say it all the time in Shir Shalya for Shabbos. No, that's wrong. It's Moshe. There we go.
Let's see what Moshe.
Moshe. There we go. That our days are 70, right? 2, 3 score and 10. And if we're strong, make the 80. Amel va'avel. And all their glory is. Work and sin.
Punishment. Avon is punishment, is sin without.
Yeah, or evil doing. That's how he is. Let's see how he translates it. But the key thing is that word, Rahavam, and their glory. You feel you're very special, but you're not. Or right. Here he translates pride.
Rahavam is their pride, right?
Pride is but trouble and wretchedness. There we go. He goes chishpinu.
Avon is wretched. Avon without is wretched.
That's where Corinth's translating. Okay, that's the pride. Right, so you're supposed to have reyecha that you're supposed to give pride to your friend. Don't be you've humbled yourself. You've made a mistake. Humble yourself. Honor the other, right? Yifshel you cannot be able to save yourself. Rak bazesh tir. The only way you can solve the problem that you've made a mistake in judgment is to glorify the other one. Lagada, right? Make them rich.
When you say Lehina Tzela, I thought Lehina Tzela is to apologize.
It means to save yourself,
What?
literally. Then from Hatzalah.
Oh, to save yourself?
Hey, right. The only way you can be saved, right? That's what he translates here. Hinatzel, deliver thyself. How's that?
Ah,
Well, it's part two.
interesting.
Or this is a more colloquial translation here. Rescue yourself.
Interesting.
Imiyad. Like a deer from them, right? You need to save yourself, and the only way you can do that is by humbling yourself. Okay. The only way to become a better teacher is to respect your students. Where we end up with this. Okay, that, if you're a teacher, you taught wrong. You need to go back and learn.
So here, Ra'echa is your students.
Right.
Okay. I was
Okay.
wondering.
Yeah, which is a fair thing about in Tanya, the famous Gemara says that about, right, that you can't be too, if you're too haughty, that's going to set you up for failure. Right, ma, it's
I like it because in Pirkei Avot it says, choose a rabbi and get a
and
friend.
buy a friend, right?
Here, it's the same language of friendship, but it's a student. It's like a mutual.
That's true, and I think I'm going to say that, right? That you should respect your students as you respect your colleagues, because that's the only way to learn. Okay, you can't. That it's got to be a back and forth, right? And that's the metaphor in the Gemara is ma itz katan madlik et gadol. A little piece of wood can start a fire and burn down a big tree. Ach talmidei chachamim ketanim mechadedin gedolim. So too, little talmidei chachamim, right? Like the students can sharpen the great. Chanina, this is the quote I quote all the time. Chanina says, "I learned a lot from my teachers, and I learned more from my friends, my colleagues, than from my rabbis. But from my students, I learned more than from any of them."
Very human system.
That's the Gra, saying that Mishlei is addressing teachers, rabbis, judges. But I would add that it's not just about judges and rabbis, because we're all judges. Everything we do, every time we react with another person, we're judging. Okay, that's what the Gemara and Mishnah and Pirkei Avot. Yeshua ben Prakhi Omer, Havei Dana Kol Adam L'Chavsechu. You need to judge everyone for the better. Assume the best of everyone. But the fact is that you are in fact Dan Adam. You are in fact judging others. So make sure it's L'Zechut. It doesn't say don't judge others. You're not. That's not what really happens, right? Similarly, when the Torah says B'tzedek tishpot amitecha, it's not talking about a literal judge in a court case. It's about every person. And you have to be careful about this, because as Shlomo says here, you'll be caught in your own words. You'll be trapped by your own words. Because there's a practical reason for being done in Chaverot. That's Gemara and Shabbos. Tanur Rabbanan. Adan Chaverot, Dan Yinitol. That if you judge someone favorably, assume the best, then you, in fact, are judged that the same way. Hashem's going to judge you the way you judge others. And this is Rabbi Fran, way Rabbi Fran puts it. Excuse me. What kind of grader is Hashem? We're being tested. Hashem's grading us. When he marks the final examination called our lives, is he an easy grader or a strict grader? The answer to this is that depends. Depends on us. If we ourselves were easy graders, if we judge pe people generously, fairly, and kindly, then he will be an easy grader with us as well. If we were strict graders, if we were relentless and merciless with other people, never giving them the benefit of the doubt, then he will do the same with us. And let me tell you, if Hashem judges us, it judges people strictly, they don't stand a chance. Let's take tefillah. We go to shul 3 times a day, we say our tefillahs, and we think we're doing fine. Hashem takes one look at it and says, "That's prayer." In shachas, think of what you were going to do that business that day. Do mincha, you think about what you did in business that day. For marav, you think about what you're going to do in business tomorrow. But tefillah, no credit. You don't get any credit for any of that. All your mitzvot, they're gone. So what can you do? There's only one choice. Be kind and compassionate, generous and forgiving when you judge other people. And Hashem will do the same for us. The way we judge others determines the way we ourselves are judged. Sorry. Is that?
Yeah, I know we asked you before, but this message from Rabbi Fran makes me think of something I heard. I have no idea where it is, but the idea that sometimes the greatest wisdom is kindness.
And I guess that's part of the message here, right? That this isn't simply being kind for its own sake. It's saying it's okay. This is actually a selfish thing. This is the smartest thing to do. Because
When I say that, I mean, because basically, if you're harsh, then you turn somebody away. Whereas if you're kind, that's inviting and it makes people feel they want to keep trying, they want to keep learning, they want to keep, participating.
I mean, that's true. It's not exactly the same message. Because even if you're seeing you will never have any interaction with someone, or even they don't even know how you're thinking about them. This is still the very act of judging someone else is judging yourself as well. Okay, this tells you who you are, and in fact, how Hashem's going to judge you as well. So even if the person has no idea what you're thinking about them, still think the best thing, the best of them. As the Mishnah says, "Al tadina chavercha ad tigia lemkomo." Don't judge your friend. Don't judge someone else until you're in their place.
Like walking in our shoes.
Right. So Rabbi Fran again on this says that the quotes the Baal Shem Tov says this goes even further. That the conventional interpretation of "Al tadina chavercha" is don't judge your friend till you stand in his place. Right. I don't know what you're thinking until I'm actually in your situation. The Baal Shem Tov offers an alternative interpretation, right? You will not be put into a position of judging someone else until you're in that position as well. Shem's setting this up. You looking at that person is really you looking at yourself. You're going to pass judgment on yourself, right? You will become your own judge when you encounter your friend's situation. Hashem will sometimes let a person be his own judge, he explains, and that is a very frightening thing. Hashem decides not to pass judgment on him. Instead, he allows him to see another person doing something similar to what he did. And Hashem waits to see how he handles it. If he judges harshly, Hashem will turn his own judgment back at him. He stands accused and condemned by his own words. But if he judges kindly, then he too benefits from the leniency of his own judgment. In fact, he quotes the example of David with Natan.
I was just thinking that.
That's exactly the example he thinks, right? Natan comes to him with a hypothetical story about a guy and a sheep. David's
It was because he took Bathsheba, right?
right.
And there was like a mashal or something, and he asked him to judge him, and it was for himself.
Right. And that's exactly the example that my friend brings in this case. He's saying that happens all the time. So be careful what you think of other people. Because that might really be what you're saying about yourself. Right? You'll be caught in your own words. So therefore, Shlomo concludes, you need to make sure you get it right. Be single-minded, right? Dan Adam l'kafsachut, judge everyone favorably. And he says, Al titen necha, do not let sleep come into your eyes, slumber to your eyelids. This is not a matter of rest. You need to keep working at this. Don't slack. This is the most important thing you can do. And this image here of not sleeping is something that Shlomo actually gets from his father, from David. I remember this. This is a Shir HaMaalot about David wanting to build Beit HaMikdash. This is, Shir HaMaalot are all really short tale. This is the long one, 132. Hashem, remember for David's sake all his humility. Asher nishba l'Hashem, neder nadar l'avir Yaakov. He swore to God, Mavob al beti, I will not go into my tent. Imalel eres yitzuri, I will not get into my bed. Imetein sheinat la'inai, and I will not allow sleep to touch my eyes. Lafafait munah, I will not give rest to my eyelids. At emtzeh makom l'Hashem, mishkanot l'avir Yaakov. To find a place for God, a resting place for the mighty one of Yaakov. That's tough.
That was his obsession.
It was. And Shlomo was turning that around. There's a little bit of irony here. That the irony here, the way we're reading this, is that, okay, your obsession should not be building a house for Hashem. Your obsession should be Dana Kala Dama Chavsuchut. Okay? David was obsessed, but he lost something there.
Not mistakes.
I'm sorry?
I said because he was so obsessed with building the Beit HaMikdash. He made a lot of mistakes.
Right. And we
There
talked
was
about
famine.
that a lot.
He didn't use the money to feed the people.
Right. So we talked
And stuff
about
like
that.
that.
So Shlomo ends up not using the money that David accumulated because it had that taint of
Yeah.
being, coming from the wrong place. Right. So we did talk about that in the end when we looked at Mishlei, at Shmuel quite a bit. So that's Mishlei's message over here, that, assume the best of others. Because you are the arev, you are the guarantor, right? You're going to pay that back if you get that wrong. And he's saying, of all Mishlei's messages, this one needs to be intense, as David needs to be to build the Mikdash. And that's 8:10 now. I'm going to stop here. Continue next week with the story of the ant and the grasshopper.
Well, I
Okay.
wondered if we were going to get into the ant, but okay, we're
Please say.
getting. Danny, thank you so much for all your hard work. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's fun. We'll get to the bugs live soon. I will stop
Thank
here.
you. Lila Tove.
Let it out.